This morning, scripture comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. This is chapter 9. We start in verse 35, and then we're going to read through 10:8. So Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest." Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Patriot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. These 12 men were sent out by Jesus with the following instructions: Do not go to any Gentile territory or any Samaritan towns. Instead, you are to go to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Go and preach, "The kingdom of heaven is near." Heal the sick, bring the dead back to life. Heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases and drive out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. Praise be to God for the reading of His Word. Let's pray a minute. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks this morning for Your Word. And we look to it for wisdom and guidance and encouragement and empowerment. And we wonder, what is it that's there specifically for us this morning? And so, whatever that is, Lord, may we hear it. May we feel it. May we know that it comes from You. And we give You thanks in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the reading this morning, it says that Jesus had been busy in ministry. And we know that from other times that we've read about Jesus and what was going on in that particular time. He's going from town to town, place to place. He's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing. And those three things, if you look at all of Christ's ministry, those three things are the main three of everything that he did. If you look at it, the teaching part of his ministry shows us that Jesus is concerned for us to understand the kingdom. In preaching, he shows his concern for the fact that he wants people to have a relationship, a commitment with God, the Father, and the Son. His miracles of healing were sort of the authentication of his teaching and preaching, proving that he truly was from God. The good news of the kingdom was that the promised and long-awaited Messiah had finally come. And it's Christ's healing miracles that were there as a sign that what he was teaching was absolutely true. And wherever Jesus was, there were crowds. The crowds would gather it. And in this case, Jesus looks out and he sees the crowds. And Jesus saw more than just the crowds. He saw people. He saw people. He had compassion for them. And if you look up the Greek word that's used right in this particular scripture for compassion, we discover it describes the deep mercy that God has for people. The prophet Ezekiel had talked about the people of Israel, the Hebrews, as if they were sheep without a shepherd. And so listen to this. This is Ezekiel 35, 4 and 5. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. And that's how Jesus saw the crowds. As bewildered and scattered and aimless sheep needing guidance and direction from someone. A shepherd, the shepherd. And I dare say it's still true today. There are many who wonder, looking and not finding until someone helps them. Jesus had come to be that shepherd. He still is. And Jesus is the one that can show you and me how to get through life without all of the pitfalls. I would remind you that the original idea was for the Hebrews that the Pharisees were going to be the shepherds, the pastors. They were going to lead the people to God. That was the plan. But along the way, that all fell apart. And they failed in what they were supposed to be doing. Why? Why? It's because they became so self-centered. They stopped listening to God. They began to decide for themselves how things should go. They had gotten to the point where they figured they knew best. And so in not relying on God to give them direction and guidance, then they were literally leading the people, but not in the right way and not to the right place. And you and I, as well as the people back then, we serve a God who is faithful, faithful to complete whatever He starts. And so if the Pharisees weren't going to get the job done, then God continued the plan to the next step to make sure that the desired results were going to happen. God would use Jesus' disciples. The disciples in carrying out what you and I would call the plan of salvation. There was a harvest to be made. I know some things about harvest, and one of my first memories is when my brothers were always getting me into trouble. There was a pea cannery in town. And so one of the things that we would do in the fall when the harvest was there, because it's not like today where you've got big trucks and they're all closed in, when they would bring the peas to the cannery, they were basically hacked off, you know. And then they're just dropped on the truck, and so the truck is overflowing. And so my brothers would say, let's ride our bicycles down by the swimming pool, because the pea cannery was right there. But the thing was that there was a big curve in the road right there. And when the trucks would come around the corner, sometimes stuff would fall off, or there'd be pea vines that were hanging off. And so we would dash out in the street, and we'd grab hold of those things. And then somebody called my dad And that was the end of the having those wonderful pea vines. Do you know that pea vines picked up off of the street or from the truck taste so much better than the ones at home when you shuck them out of there? And so that was part of my understanding about harvest, and Dad wasn't really happy with us. In my last appointment, we had a Wednesday night men's Bible study. And I could always tell in the fall how the harvest was going by the look on the faces of many of the men who came to the study. During the harvest, there never seemed to be enough hours in the day. There never seemed to be enough people to take care of everything. There was always so much to get done. And Jesus is very plain in what we read today. He says, the harvest is ready. But Christ wasn't talking about grass or grain or fruit or peas. He was talking about people. God cares about people. He looked into the crowds and he realized how many of them were lost. How many of them needed someone to guide them into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus counted up the number of harvesters he had. It was 12. 12. How could so few bring in so many? The crowd was there, and Jesus just had himself and the 12. And you know, Jesus had the answer. It's right in what we read. He instructs the 12 to pray. Pray, disciples, pray to God that more laborers will be sent to help gather in the harvest. It was the prayer, you see, that made the difference on that day and still does in our time. This is one of my great concerns. It was before I became a pastor. Even more now is that the Christian church of today doesn't understand how much power there is in earnest prayer. The powers, you see, that believers have through prayer to affect other people's lives is a constructive and positive way for people to discover Jesus. We prayed for the box. Little ones praying. But oh, what powerful prayers they were thinking in their heads while we were standing there. We find a lesson in how to pray in 1 Chronicles 4:10. You probably understand it or remember it as the prayer of Jabez. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. This is what he said. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Make what I'm doing for you, God, bigger. Go into new lands. He said, he was praying, let your hand be with me. He said, God, I won't go and do unless you are there with me. I don't trust myself enough alone. I need you. And then he prayed, and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Jabez said, God, in the midst of all of this, can I have protection? Would you cover me with your protection? And you know, in the three requests, what God did, he granted them all. Jabez was not in a hurry to pray this prayer. He gave it a great deal of thought. Jabez wanted to do things God's way, and then he was bold enough in prayer to ask God to help him. And God answered that prayer. And I'm not preaching a gospel of prosperity here. A gospel that would cause you to think that if you just pray and ask, God will give you anything you ask for. Everything you pray for. There's other scriptures that guide us in how we should pray. And so I encourage you to keep reading your Bible so you get the whole story. You see, many of us have prayed in earnest, in sincerity, for a long time for circumstances in our lives or the lives of others, and still we are working through the struggles and troubles in those circumstances, and other people are also. So this morning, one of the things I want you to think about is, what were the words I used the last couple times I prayed to God? Was it a list of things that you wanted God to do? Or were they prayers? Lord, here it is, and I'm not sure what to do with this, but you know. And so will you guide me? Give me the words. Did you ever ask God to do that? God, I know I'm going to pray, and so would you give me the words to pray? Oh, you should practice doing that. And then just trust Him. You and I in the summertime watch and wait for the harvest, and even as early as the spring, because in the spring there's a harvest of strawberries. And you know, when the strawberries are ripe and they're ready, you know, up the road to Cuffs, we don't mind going up there and spending some energy, do we? We work at getting those berries, and we wake up the next morning, and then we ache a little bit, and we deal with maybe a sunburn because we forgot our hat. Why? Because it's worth it. Those wonderful, delicious strawberries that you can slice up and put in your cereal in the morning. You can put them in pancakes. You can make jam with them, or fresh strawberry pie. And so this metaphor that Jesus is working on here, the metaphor of the laborers, the ones who work at it, is appropriate. You see, a laborer puts out some effort to gather in the harvest. You and I will not be able to help people find Christ without some effort on our part. And that's the call on your life this morning. As laborers for Christ's harvest, we have a duty to warn people that judgment is coming. Call them to repentance. You see, in our lives, there are many people that are ready to give their lives to Christ. If someone would just show them how, would just lead them in how to do it. And then we must be in prayer that there would be more laborers in the harvest. The great revivals, the revivals of George Whitefield and John Wesley, happened because there were men and women of prayer. They succeeded in getting others to pray with them for God to bring revival to the church, revival to the cities and towns. Every great revival in the history of Christendom happened after people of God got on their knees and prayed in earnest. Oh, and then I want to tell you something else. If you're willing to spend some time in earnestness, then get ready. Because God will begin to answer those prayers. And oftentimes in this business of harvesting people for the kingdom of God, He's going to use you in the harvest. It's not going to be the pastor. It's not going to be the chair of the evangelism committee. It's going to be you. And Faith Community Church is a part of that. It's exciting to be a part of this community of faith right here. This church is missions-minded. Jesus' compassion is still found today in missions. And as a church, you show that compassion for people. You do it by supporting things financially. The work of Christ in our local neighborhood and in the country and then in the world in things like this. Just one way of many. And then literally folks from this church go often. They go here and they go there and they work physically and they do things for people that they've never met before. You provide labor and materials for all kinds of mission projects. Oh, how to share the love of Christ, how to show people that He's worth it, how to be involved with people that just need to know that there is a way to know Him. But I warn you, because it's very well documented that churches who prefer projects in missions to prayer are missing the power. And those missions will eventually fizzle out at those churches. You see, the key to success in missions is to grow closer to Jesus' heart as people of prayer. Whatever else Faith Community Church does, we must learn to love others and learn to pray with power and discernment. And God will help us do it. Then it won't be hard at all to be co-laborers in the fields, the harvest fields, during harvest time. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, more workers, into this His harvest field." Let us pray. Lord, You have called us to service this morning. Service in Your kingdom. And so, help us to be energized. Help us to be willing. Help us to go. And help us to trust in You for everything along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.